The reading can be found on the inside of your notice sheets. It's taken from Acts 2, 22 to 29. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Who's got their glasses on so they can see what I've got in my hand? What's happening is, before I start speaking, this is a talk where you've got something to do. You need to hand out one blob to each person. You might need to take the cling film off in order to do that. Cool. So you each, every single one of you is going to get a little yellow thing. And believe me, you can do something with it. So your hand is your plate, okay? Your hand is your plate. Has anybody heard of the artist Anthony Gormley? Yes. Yep, did the Angel of the North and all that kind of stuff. Well, one of his pieces of artwork, an installation piece, was to ask, I think he asked about 500 people. So we're not quite 500 people, but we are a representation of it. Every single person needs one of these. What you are going to create is a little blob person. So what you're aiming for is to, if you can see my little thing here, is sort of like a shoulders, is like the bottom bit. So you don't need much artistic skill. This is me in 2 seconds, okay? Those creatives amongst you go nuts. But the rest of us, it'll look like a blob person. Okay, and then the top bit is your head. Now, while I'm talking, and I'm going to be talking for about 10 minutes, and there's no rush, you can make this as perfect as you like, okay, or not, as the case may be. And if you just like squashing things in your hand, then just squash it, and then make it into a little person closer to the end of my talk. Because at the end of the talk, you will be doing as Anthony Gormley asked people to do, but we're doing it for God's glory, not for his glory. Is you'll be placing your little person, which is representing you, okay? So you're making a little image of you, all right? It's a little you in yellow blob stuff. If you have a good sniff of it, you'll it's going to give you a fragrant gift of baby oil behind. That's what it smells of. I don't need those on there. They need to come off. Thank you. If anybody needs a bigger bit of Play-Doh, okay, then just grab an extra bit. So you might want a bigger bit to make yourself into a bigger person. So I'm going to pray. It is definitely not marzipan. If you try eating it, it's full of salt. Okay, it's called salt dough for a reason. So you take your time. This will help you listen to me, okay? Allegedly. And I want you to make an image of yourself, and then we're going to put all of our images of ourself at the foot of the cross, because this is Lent, and we are trying to approach God through the cross, remember? See, there's method in my madness. Right, shall I pray, and then I'll begin talking. You listen ever so carefully, and if someone wants to make a little blob of me, because I've now killed mine, that would be appreciated. So let's pray, shall we? Dear Father God, thank you for making us your people and giving us so many ways to access you. And Lord, as we are creating little beings of ourselves, they're not effigies, they're not gods. They are just a representation of who we are in your eyes. So be with us, Lord, and in these words. In Jesus' name, amen. So our reading from Acts is, the whole point is we are going back to early church and we're going to learn about what it was to be the early church. Let's strip away all the paraphernalia, the gubbins, the man-made stuff that we have put in place in our services and our institutions to make us feel comfortable, and let's strip it back and see what the early church was. That's all right. God will give me a voice. There we go. I love that. Thank you. The New Testament suggests that our main business as the people of God, as his church, is to reach people. If you read through the New Testament again and again, Jesus and his disciples and all that are inspired to follow God, it's all about reaching people and showing them God's saving grace. But is it as simple as Peter makes it look? Because in that chapter 2, you've got Peter's first sermon. Okay? He's reached out to the people that were around him that day with a gospel message given after the sending of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It had a massive impact on his audience. Because if you read a little bit further in that chapter, you'll say about 3,000 said yes to following Jesus that day. Just from the few words that Peter said. So I want us to look closer at Peter's talk and see what's occurring. You'll notice, if you spend any time with this passage, that there's four basic characteristics going on. First of all, as he talks, it's a message about God. Then, secondly, a message about the cross. Thirdly, there's a message about the resurrection. And fourthly, a message about life. And those four things give us the who, the what, the when, and the why of the gospel message. And if you notice, at the heart of it all was Jesus. Who powered this sermon, which was given very clearly, without the aid of a microphone, very succinctly? It was as if Peter had just gone, ah, and out came the gospel message. Well, it was God. God the Spirit, who gave Peter all he needed. The clarity, the words, the knowledge, the courage. to leave a safe space. They were in that upper room, praying and waiting and enjoying each other's company and celebrating that Jesus was alive. 9 days ago, they'd seen him ascend to heaven, promising to send one who would enable and direct and gift them to do as he commanded, which was to go out in the name of Christ and make disciples and baptizing them into the family of God, continuing what Jesus had begun, bringing God's people, all those little people that you're now making, you, God's people, back into a full and living relationship with the Father by following the way the Son had laid out before them. Was Peter prepared? Did he have a lectern? Nice piece of paper with some words on it? Had he had elocution lessons? Had he watched a TED talk on presentation styles and skills? Peter had watched Jesus. He'd listened to Jesus. And then he waited on his promise. And when it came, he was infused and he acted upon its prompting. That's why we had those stories before our reading of when God has prompted you. And what have you done? Big or small, using as much faith as a mustard seed, or being zapped by the Spirit. Peter told the truth. That's all he did. He told the truth. He presented it passionately and in the most appropriate way for the people he was speaking to. He used scripture, a known rhetorical style, in a culturally sensitive way, in their language. Why do we have bacon butties and Play-Doh? Because it's culturally sensitive to where we are as a people. If you've never been into the house of God before, you're petrified. But there's something familiar about a bacon butty and a random person saying, make an image of yourself out of Play-Doh. You can connect to that. It's in their language. Peter told the story of God, and he broke out into poetry, using the words of someone familiar to them, King David, their hero from the Old Testament, their Torah. Psalm 16, evoking David's love and passion for God. I wonder what our poetry would be today. What's our poetry for God? Does anybody write poetry for God these days? I hope they do. Share some with us. He writes songs. He writes new songs. He revives old songs. He inspires us by his scripture. Peter was inspired by scripture. I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. That was the who. Peter declared who it was that he was worshipping. Not something new or different or foreign, but the known and revered one, the same God, Yahweh, who had compassionately led his people from generation to generation. And then he goes on to the what. Remember, I had four things. We've done the who, now we're on to the what. What was it about Jesus that mattered so much? What had made such an impact on Peter's life that he felt compelled to stand out in the middle of a crowded street, in the middle of the festival celebrating the time of the Passover? He was a fisherman. He was used to being wet and smelly and tired. A time of the Passover, he stood in a street in front of a group of people who were celebrating the way where God had previously stepped into their lives, into the lives of his people, and made a way for them to break free from slavery. Specifically, the time they had spent in Egypt as slaves. And then he showed them a way out and broke them out to live unshackled lives with and for God. So what is it about Jesus? Well, it was the cross. That was the what. Publicly and humiliatingly, Jesus made himself the Passover lamb. A sacrificial offering, not just for a day or a year or a lifetime, but forever. Jesus stood in death where we should all stand and gave us real, perfect hope and knowledge that death could and was defeated. And this led Peter to resurrection, because we don't stay at the cross, do we? The when part of his simple, clear gospel message. From age to age, God's people had always known that when the last days came, then all would be resurrected from death to life. Nothing would separate people from God anymore. So the Jews were very keen to watch out for signs that this was finally happening. For this was when God would really make things right again, make their relationship close, personal, and perfected again. It had been such a long time since Adam had walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. God's people longed for that kind of way again. The arrival of the Messiah, God's appointed one, who would go before and lead them into this age to come, his arrival was a clear indicator that it was happening. Peter stood up that day, fired up by the Spirit, and said, "Guess what? It's happened. The time has come. God, just as David told us, never left us or gave up on us. He raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. This Jesus is not only the messianic sign that God's plan is happening, but the same Lord who David wrote his prophetic poem about in Psalm 110. Who sits next to, not under, God the Father. Next to. Can you imagine for this group of people who've been watching for the Messiah, waiting for God's kingdom to come, and they hear that, they've missed it. It's happened. For a group of people who'd come all the way to Jerusalem from many, many different lands, with a specific thought and desire to love and serve God. And then they hear how far they've gone from seeing and knowing and walking with him. They felt deeply sorry. They were cut to the heart, the writer of Acts says. You know when you've messed up, don't you? You just know when you have really, really done it. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, you get that same feeling, don't you? It's the same feeling I had when I tap danced on a glass table aged 5 and broke it. That uh-oh. That sad, awful heaviness. Our shoulders sag. Our heads go down. We can't look the one that we've wronged in the eye. But we don't want to keep feeling that way. And when we've really made a hash of things, we want to make it right, don't we? I used a tablecloth, it didn't work. Why do we want to do that? Because the pain we've caused is too much to bear, and we need to say sorry. How many people here have ever said sorry? And how many people have said sorry and actually meant it? We've all been forced to go, I'm sorry. But it's not that kind of sorry. It's the sorry that you really do mean it and you really wish you hadn't messed up the way you had, because you've caused so much pain and it's too much to bear. And we just need to say sorry to make things right again. We need to get to the point of knowing that we are forgiven, because then we can raise our heads up again and we can move forward, not apart from the one that we've wronged. And so we get to the why of Peter's simple, spirit-fueled gospel message. Peter had messed up. Cock-a-doodle-doo. 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 He got a chance to say sorry to Jesus face to face. Jesus hugged him. Gave him a task to do. Jesus also made a big sacrifice to ensure all people could say sorry to him when they messed up. But we need to tell people that they have this choice, that they can face God again. Just follow Jesus. Follow his example, not mine. Jesus's example, not Peter's example. A terrible temper. Follow Jesus's example. And realize that you are not following a person, a principle, or a philosophy. You are following the Lord and the Messiah. You're on a journey with God. You have messed up, and you have missed the point of who Jesus is, what he did for our sake. And when you can, your time has come to live again. And there's another opportunity right now with your little people to say sorry, to lift up your heads and snuggle up close to the Lord our God and be with him. And in the weeks to come, Nigel and Pat and myself, we're going to show you the how that the early church did this. How did they do it? That's what we're going to do. So, I'm going to say a big amen. And as I say amen, doesn't need an orderly fashion. Have a bun fight. See who can get closest to the cross. Take your little person, as imperfect or perfect as they are, and come and meet with Jesus huddled around the cross. And then we'll do a prayer of confession together. And we'll pray for the world together. And we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So as you're able, and if you need someone to take it up for you, because it's going to take, you don't feel comfortable coming up to the front, then just give it to a friend and they'll bring it up for you. But if you can, I'd like you to bring it yourself. Bring your little being up here to this tough table. See if you can make some of them stand or sit. Well, there's lots of laying down in front of God, like that. So do you want to meet with God? Yeah? I hope you do. Otherwise, I'm in the wrong place. Is there any more to come, or have we got them all here? Oh, I like this. Look at this. Some people are laying down. Some people are feeling very deflated. Some people are very upright. I like this. So we're going to... I think there should be a slide that starts with living God. We'll do the world second. All right. Yep, that's the one. So when I got to the end of my talk, if you were still listening to me, you realised that when Peter got to the end of his passage, there was an opportunity to come alive in Christ. But part of that coming alive in Christ means that when we've messed up, we have to say sorry. Which is why we didn't do this bit at the beginning like we would normally do. So if you want to say sorry, join in with these words, okay, that are on the screen. Am I getting in anybody's way or can you see behind me? Good. So let's say these words together and then I've got a prayer for the world and I'll lead you through that and you've got some responses that I will tell you about. They're very simple, so don't worry. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together, okay? So let's pray, shall we? Living God, we are sorry for the times when we have pretended that we do not belong to you. We are sorry for the times when we have not stood up or stood out for the things we should. We are sorry for when we have remained in the dark and have been too afraid to shine in the light. We are sorry when we have let injustice prevail because we have been too afraid to speak out. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you can all lift your heads high now and pray with me as we pray for our world. God longs for the world to come back to him and be with him, literally skipping along the beach as Hilda did. At the end of each of these short prayers, I'll say, your kingdom come, and can you respond with, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We offer our prayers for the growth of God's kingdom in our world today. And so we're uniting our voices with Christ who perfects our prayers. Let's pray. Holy Rock, when our world trembles and quakes, when plagues of locusts take over and coronavirus, and when droughts and wildfires wreak havoc on our ecosystems, we come to you in prayer. We continue our prayers for the people of Southern Africa who are still experiencing drought, especially Zimbabwe. We also pray for Murrundi in Australia, that little town that's not felt the relief of rains, even though much of Australia has. Restore among us a love of the earth that you created, and give us respect for all your creatures. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, friend to all, we pray for the 2,000 plus people who've died already from the coronavirus and the 75,000 plus who are now infected. Give us wisdom and knowledge and common sense as we here deal with the effects of the virus locally. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God of compassion, we pray for the people of Syria, where Turkey and the Syrian regime have been attacking one another harder and harder. Be present with all those fleeing war and violence with nowhere to go. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders that they will seek your righteousness and loving kindness, so peace may dwell with all your people. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Divine teacher, may our prayers manifest into actions that guide us towards your will. Send your Holy Spirit to each one of us and all your good creation. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And so we join these simple prayers together with the simplest prayer that our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now amongst us and amongst our friends and family are people that you know that need God's healing touch. So I'm going to really push you today, in just to your near neighbour, just quickly share a short prayer of healing for someone that's on your heart or your mind. Okay, so just turn in twos and threes and just pray together for those people that in your twos and threes you know need God's healing touch today. Simple prayers. You've got about a minute.